these slides were very extensive and elaborative. I realized, and some feedbacks also told me, that we didn't get enough interaction and enough chance for exchange of ideas. So this week, if there is anything about what we discussed 2 weeks ago, if anyone remembers, that was about death and the different types of death and the different image of Malakul Maut when they come to a good person and to a bad person, and also the different experiences of death by different people. So, inshallah, towards the end, we will just leave about 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, to discuss the issues that may you have about that lecture and also tonight's lecture, which is about Munkar and Nakir, and also Mubashir and Bashir specifically. Okay. Munkar and Nakir are different from Ruman. Ruman had a different function. As we said, it came to remind us. It will come, of course, for those who are already there, they say it came, but it will come for us. It will come to remind us what we have forgotten of our lives and personalities. And as we put it in this expression, that it actually activates the spiritual memory in which every single detail is recorded. And after that is activated, then of course there is no forgetfulness, unless Allah wills. Everything is possible with the will of Allah. Even people who go to hell, they can come out with the will of Allah. But of course, the will of Allah has a systematic sort of a procedure. It follows a systematic procedure, which is again laid down by Allah Himself, not something outside His will, of course. Nakir and Munkar do not remind, they investigate, they explore, and they manifest and show. They don't need to, of course, know anything. What they do, they bring out what is inside us and let us watch and see who we are. And in this way, they rank, they rate, and they classify, and they give us the type of life that we will have in Barzakh. So very, very important angels, very important function they have. Is, as I said, we should absolutely forget that concept which God wants to somehow take revenge, or He wants to be meticulous about what we have done, what we haven't done. He wants to somehow put us on the spot. That is absolutely a wrong way of thinking about these different processes and these angels. Look how Allah has created this world. It's bilhaq. And whatever comes after also is bilhaq. It's not just for vain, for revenge, for play and sport. So, Munkar and Nakir, the guides and classifiers. Now, Swedenborg also has a mention of these two angels. Of course, in Christian theology, we don't have anything about Munkar and Nakir. But Swedenborg, who says that he is familiar with that world and the experience of the soul afterwards, he mentions angels coming to the grave and asking questions. But he says they, in effect, they are not asking questions. What they try to do, they try to guide the soul to a channel which leads them to prosperity, to paradise. However, some souls are very forthcoming, very easily. I mean, as soon as they guide them, they follow. Some souls are very difficult. No matter how much these angels try to give them that guidance, that wisdom, Because when we die, of course, we need a wisdom by which we have to find our ways. Our free will would not go away. Our intelligence would not go away. We have to use our intelligence more than what we do here. That intelligence and that wisdom should work when these angels come and try to guide us. This is how Swedenborg puts it, and I think it's a very nice way of putting it. It says, these angels try. But if the soul is not forthcoming, it's very painful for the soul, first of all. And after a while, the angels would leave, and would leave the soul to follow the path that they are inclined to follow. So that's why I say they are guides, in the sense that they want to guide us. And the questions that they ask is actually an indicator of what they want to guide us to. They want to guide us to God. They want to guide us to good things. If the soul is familiar with those concepts, it's very important. The concepts that we take with us from this world. Some people say, what's the importance? If you are a good man, what's the importance of, say, for example, believing in God, having all these elaborate creeds about hereafter, good deed, punishment, reward. If we are not familiar with these concepts, then we don't understand anything that they say. And that will become a burden. It's as if they are talking a different language. Now, of course, we'll talk about the language that they speak. But it is as if they are talking a different language. We do not understand it. And we become just like dumb and deaf. كَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمْ, as the Quran says. Just dumb and deaf. And blind. We cannot see, we cannot hear, we cannot utter. They try to tell us. Actually, they ask us to tell them that, who is your Lord? Come on, say it. Your Lord. Well, we don't know. We don't know, and then we cannot follow. We cannot follow what they want to take us into. So, they are guides and they are classifiers. As I said, this first night of the grave is one of the most important and crucial moments or occasions of our initiation to the world of Barzakh, in which everything very quickly and very rapidly will become clear, and our life in Barzakh will be determined. How are we going to live? Of course, for we are talking about the evil people now. If you remember last week, we ended by the type of creatures that the evil people would feel, would accompany them. And for them, they seem formidable, because what they say is not familiar. Now, it's just like if you have opposed them something all your life, and suddenly they put you in a situation where you see the contrary, where you see that's not the case. What you have actually tried to prove was wrong, and suddenly you are put on the spot. And that's why whatever they say about God, about good, about things which they try to take you towards, you don't know. It's not familiar. Well, of course, you know, because we know what they are going to talk about roughly. Roughly, we know what they are going to talk about. It's as I have repeatedly said, what we discuss here are just examples. We cannot compare this world to that world. So the hadith actually give a very graphic picture of these two angels when they come. For the evildoers. They are the same angels which go to good people, and they are very beautiful, very handsome, very attractive. But for these, the hadith says that it is as when they are coming, the person feels that they are yabhathan al-ardh bi-anyabihima. They are actually excavating the grave with their teeth and coming forth. So formidable and horrifying for the person. And when they speak, aswa tuhuma karra'd al qasif wa absaruhuma kalbarq al khatif, their voice for that evil person sounds like thunderbolt, and their eyes look like the flash of the thunder, so sharp they cannot look into their eyes when they come. And these are two of the most complicated angels, which have a very, very crucial function, much more important than the angels that are now with us, and they have some function. The function of these two angels are very crucial and important, and actually for human beings, we can say epoch-making for every single individual, what they do. Now, as I said, they are not reminders. They do not remind. They are evaluators. What they do, they evaluate what you have. They weigh your personality now, and then they give you the due weight that you should have in the life to come from tomorrow morning. We are talking about the first night of the grave. Then from tomorrow morning, you are going to start your new life. But where? Which neighborhood? Which city? Which country? And in Barzakh, we have countries, cities, neighborhoods, and all these things. Where you have to go? What is your passports, ID, all these things? They are going to give it to you. If you want to compare, you are still in the airport. You are still in the customs. You have not passed through the customs yet. You have to pass through the customs, and these are the officers. These two angels are the officers which would actually... This is the world's custom, and they tell you which country you have to go. So his personality, these two angels, what they do, his personality needs to be located, so to speak. Now, what is personality? This is a big question. What do they regard as your personality? Now, what is our personality here? For example, our personality is formed of, say, for example, our job, family, house, neighborhood, culture. If we want to go one step further, education, the languages that we know, art, the people to whom we are connected. What else? What else shapes our personality in this world? Belief system. Belief system is part of our personality, yes, of course. Anything else? Behavior? Yeah, akhlaq, that's right, behavior. Now, for us, personality here is shaped of many, many different elements. Now, what are they going to regard as our personality there? From which family have you come? Not important for them. Which country? Not important for them. Which language do you speak? Not important, because they speak universal language with you. They don't care about which language you know. And you may just forget your language that you speak in this world. There's a universal language there that everyone can understand. We'll talk about language in Barzakh later on, inshallah. So, people you were connected to, not at this stage, they are not very much, except for certain people. except for certain people. And of course, the least important, your wealth, your house, your car, your children, these are, just neglect them. However, one thing is very, very important in your personality. God. Here, God, who cares about God? Because he provides for everyone, for mu'min and kafir, isn't it? You believe in him, you do not believe in him, he provides for you. That's not very important. For some people, God is very important, of course, because it's part of their life, love, emotions, affections, everything. And this will become very, very colorful there. This actually stands out in one, in a person's personality. Because we are entering a world in which God is very clearly in charge of. So the first thing that they will ask you is, what? Man Rabbuk. Who is your Lord? That's the most important. Who is your Lord? That is the main part of the personality. Main part of your personality. Now you may say, well, it wasn't important at all. The world I lived, it was not important. People did not care about it very much. That was tolerance. Everyone tolerated everyone else, and people did not care very much. No. Where is your Lord? Who's your Lord? So, the first thing, if you don't know, then, of course, you think that these two angels are talking nonsense. Not that you realize, you do not realize. There you do not realize. This is very, very important. Whatever you realize here. There you do not realize. And you still resist. That's why these two angels are very painful in their communication, so to speak, when they talk to you and you don't know what they are saying. And if you try to tell a lie, you do not realize who's your Lord, but you know that, yes, I have to say my God is Allah. And if you tell lies, then their anger, it seems to you, their anger would kill you. Just like lashes of fire will come over you. This is what, of course, the graphic picture the hadith gives us. So, the qualifiers of personality here are who's your Lord? What is his faith? The deceased, what is his faith? Which prophet did he follow? The hadith says that, of course, the person who is now trapped in this question and answer, they ask him, who is your prophet? This is the most important part of the personality now. Who did you follow? What is your faith? And the person says, because he cannot say what he does not understand and believe in, he says, people used to say that Muhammad was a prophet. Or they ask him, what is your view about Muhammad, peace be on him? That's why I say some connections have become very important. And he says, people used to say that he was a prophet. That means I did not believe in it. And still I do not believe in it. Because what you do not believe here, you do not believe there. This is why people go to hell, because all this journey would not change them. So, and then they become very angry, as the hadith says. They say, people used to say. So you did not realize, you did not understand. And again, those lashes of fire would come upon them. These are examples, as I said. We don't know the reality, what the reality is. So, and which book did he read? Ma kitab book. What book did you read? Well, many people don't care about books at all. I mean books with capital B. Scriptures. It becomes very important. It becomes part of personality there. And other things like إن أول ما يسألانك عن ربك. This is the hadith from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. The first thing they will ask you is about your Lord. الذي كنت تعبده, that you used to worship. So not only Lord, worship is very important as well. What did you worship? وعن نبيك الذي أرسل إليك, from your prophet who was sent to you. وعن دينك الذي كنت تدين به, what faith you are following. وعن كتابك الذي كنت تتلوه, what book you were reading. وعن إمامك الذي كنت تتولاه, which leader you were following, because you may not have been living at the time of the prophets. So which Imam, which leader? That may be Imam al-Ma'soom or other leaders in this world. And then after these, they come to other qualifiers of your personality. And umrak fi ma afnayta, how did you spend your life? It's quite an elaborate session of questions and answers, of course. Wa malik min aynak tasabta wa fi ma atlafta, how did you earn your money? How did you spend it? Or how did you waste it? All these things they will ask. And of course, these are, as I said, these are just examples, not exclusively these things. If you want to categorize it, أول ما يسألانك, the first thing they will ask you, your Lord, your Prophet, your faith, your book, your Imam, then they come to other things. ثُمَّ and أُمْرَك, your life. How did you spend it? How did you pass your life? Well, from they ask you about your wealth, they ask you about your deeds, behavior, I don't know, maybe. Because the things are gradual there. Not everything will be determined immediately when you are in the grave. Some elements of your personality should reveal themselves later on when you move up the scale of this journey towards meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lie here causes pain. Again, all these traditions tell us that if the person lies, and if the person is a liar, then they continue to lie there. Don't think that people do not lie there. No, they lie there. Actually, Swedenborg says that some people are so expert in hypocrisy and lie that they can actually pretend for some while that they are part of a cluster of believers. However, soon they will be separated, but they can pretend. Now, pretending there is very difficult. We'll talk about it, how people can pretend. But this lying, pretension, hypocrisy, they continue. Whatever you take with yourself from here, they continue. Even when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ, the day when Allah gathers all of them, they swear lies for God as they swear lies to you. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ, and they think that this is going to benefit them. Now, why a soul, having gone through all these stages, should think that a lie before Allah would benefit them? How is it possible? Because of this personality, of the character. We take our character. You remember our shakila? Kul qul kullun ya'malu ala shakilati. You become yourself a nature. You act according to your nature. You cannot act differently. And that's why it's very important that you build that nature here, so that you would not go through pains which of course here you have lies becoming very painful. Now they continue exploring and exploring and excavating what is inside you until the inner layers of his personality becomes manifest for him. So the person knows himself, and by knowing himself, the environment that he has to go, the clusters, because there are clusters of souls, the cluster of souls that he would choose to go to. By knowing his personality, he will be inclined towards certain clusters of souls. He now knows himself, and because he's very evil, we are talking about the evil person, because Nakir and Munkar only go to the evil people, they don't go to anyone else, or these angels would appear as Nakir and Munkar for them. Now, let me ask you one question. You see, for example, in Dua Sahifa Sajjadiya and in other Duas, the Imam cries and beseeches to God that what should I do if Nakir and Munkar come to me? وَسُعَالَ نَكِيرًا وَمُنْكَرٍ إِيَّاي. When Nakir and Munkar come and ask me questions. But would Nakir and Munkar go to the Imam? Go to a true believer, let alone Imam. Why the Imam say this? Any idea? I'm asking you this because then you may come across these and contradiction raises in your mind. To tell us, and also because they are so humble that they do not exclude themselves from this. And no person should exclude themselves, although I exclude all of you, but I do not exclude myself, okay? So we should not exclude ourselves from these things because we don't know. We have to always watch out for our evils. So, what happens here is very, very interesting. Yes. I think I remember, yes. Not exactly the accurate expression now, but I think I remember, yes, there are instances of that. Yeah. Now, something very amazing happens here now. When they are actually somehow exploring this personality and bringing different elements of personality before the eyes of the person, at the moment they see their fitra, the human creation. This is taken from different traditions, actually, that I'm telling you. They see their fitra, his pure human creation. They show it to him. Say, for example, they say, Bahmanpur, okay? Look, what was your creation? And it looks beautiful. It looks like paradise. And the person actually views that paradise and is mesmerized by the beauty of that fitra. So they show him his fitra. And then as soon as he wants to actually take pleasure of that, suddenly the evils come and destroys it and distracts him. And then he sees a very, very ugly picture of himself. And then they show him what he has done to it. This is, of course, what the traditions tell us. رَأَى بَابًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مَفْتُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. He sees a door of paradise open to his grave, this evil person. And this is يَرَى مِنْهُ خَيْرَاتَهَا. He sees all his goodness. all the good that could have been achieved by this fitrah. He sees. In fact, these angels not only rate him, they tell him who you are, who you could you, what sort of person you could be. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ مُنْكَرٌ وَنَكِيرٌ انظر إلى ما حرمت من تلك الخيرات. Look what you have been deprived of. Well, I wish they wouldn't have shown this poor person this beautiful picture, because this only adds to the regret and remorse. What have I lost? And this is only the first night. This is still in the airport, isn't it? What they will see later is much more regretful. Much more regretful. So they show him, and they tell him, انظر إلى ما حرمت من تلك الخيرات. ثم, and after that, يفتح له في قبره باب من النار. And then a door of hell will be opened. يدخل عليه منه من عذابها. And the punishment of hell, the pains of hell enter his grave. Now, he is actually finding its life. Now, after Nakir and Munkar have finished with him, he's finding his life. Fayaqul, now, seeing what is waiting for him, he prefers to stay in this pain and agony, rather than going to what he is seeing that coming in future. فَيَغُولْ رَبَّ لَا تُقِمْ أَسَّاءَ رَبَّ لَا تُقِمْ أَسَّاءَ. My Lord, of course he doesn't know Lord, but he is used to saying it. My Lord, do not make the hour to stand, to set in. Don't bring the Qiyamah, because what I'm seeing there is more drastic than what I am in here. And we have actually, in many, many instances, when, of course, he finds his house in Barzakh, in many instances we have this dua, that these people, despite the agony and pain that they have, their dua is always, do not bring Qiyamah. Because they see what is coming. They can sense what is coming afterwards. So they prefer this pain. They prefer this difficulty to what is coming in future. Now, Bashir and Mubashir, bearers of good news. Now, good news is in yourselves. There is no good news outside you. There is no good news outside you. So what they do, they show to you yourselves. You see the good news inside you. And now Sheikh Mufid is, well, arguably the greatest Shiite theologian. And he has written extensively about all these things, about Su'al al-Qabr and about Munkar and Nakir, Bashir and Mubashir, and he is the one who insists that for middle range people there is no questioning in the grave. So what we are talking about regards to questioning in the grave is about the very good ones and the very evil ones. The middle range, they don't have questioning in the grave. As I said, this is not a good sign, because this questioning is good, because it makes the destiny quite clear. Otherwise, people are always in confusion and in a sort of limbo. They don't know what will happen in future. So Sheikh Mufid insists, because of the riwayat that we have from A'imma alayhimus salam, that it is only for very good and for very evil. The middle range people, yulha anhum, Allah leaves them until they mature, because middle range people, they have not matured yet. Until they mature, and then these angels would come and teach them and show them and these things. These two groups, the angels come to them because this is the final judgment for them, the final judgment. That means after this, if Nakir and Munkar come and ask you, that means you definitely go to hell. If Bashir and Mubashir come and ask you, that means you definitely go to paradise. There is no doubt anymore, according to what Sheikh Mufid says. Now, some people may argue against it. But what Sheikh Mufid? Now, Sheikh Mufid says this, says that Summiya Malak al Mu'min, the two angels of Mu'min are named Mubashir and Bashir, because they give them yubashshiranahu min Allah Ta'ala bil-rida wa-stabab al-muqeen. They give them the good news from God that Allah is pleased with them and they are going to be in everlasting bliss. They go to paradise. There is no doubt about it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبْعَدُونَ. So, what weighing, mizan, sirat, what about them? It's all made very easy for them. They just pass through them very easily, very quickly. And some of them, they do not have mizan at all. As the evil people do not have mizan. These very good ones do not have mizan because they are already judged. They are already judged. There is no final judgment for them. This is the final judgment. So they give them the good news. وَإِنَّ هَذَيْنَ الْإِسْمَيْنِ لَيْسَ بِلَقَبٍ لَهُمَا وَإِنَّمَا إِنَّهُمَا عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ فِعْلِهِمَا. This is not their attributes. That it is what they actually do. That's why they are called Bashir and Mubashir. They bring these. This is their act. Now, I have emphasized several times that this is the final judgment. This is the categorical separation between good and evil. You may say that, so what about Day of Judgment and all those things? Do they not pass through all those stages? Yes, they do. But there is no doubt. They never, these people to whom Bashir and Mubashir come, they never fear. Because they know that whatever comes next is good, is better. Whatever comes next is better than what they are in. The evil people, they know whatever comes next is worse than what they are in. It's these middle range people who do not know what is going to happen to them. And these, the Day of Judgment is very, very frightening for them and for the evil people, of course, because although they know it, but they haven't seen it. We all know about death, but we haven't seen it. So it's very different. Now, they are the same angels, seen from different eyes. Now, Abu Basir asked Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكْ يَدْخُلَانْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْكَافِرِ فِي سُورَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ فَقَالَ اللَّهُ. These same angels, do they come to mu'min and kafir in one phase, in the same way? He said, no, of course. So they are the same angels, seen from different perspectives and different people. For the pure soul, nothing is now more pleasant than listening to these angels. What they say, Man Rabbuk. Oh, you are asking about my Lord. I love him. Talk to me about him. I want to know more about him. And because now it's just like two like-minded people coming together. They start about talking. They start talking about the Lord. And he would like to explain about the Lord. He would like to express his love. Who is your prophet? Wow, I loved him when I was in that world. Who's your Imam? Oh, Imam Hussein you are talking about, or which Imam? Mahdi you are talking about, or whatever. I mean, it is all good communication. Pleasant talk. Pleasant conversation. It's all pleasant conversation. And that's why whatever they say is very easily received, and the person is very easily guided by them. They can guide him through the channel which takes them to their abode in Barzakh. They teach him, guide him, and make him realize his own beauties. So these two angels become very favorable, because these are the ones who have actually given you the start for this very, very pleasant type of life. And they create their barzakh, they make his grave a garden of paradise. It becomes so huge, so huge. And it will be located. Now you may say, well, that grave is in a specific place on the earth. But it is in a specific place on this earth. However, it will be connected to a city in barzakh, which is the city of the good people, to a country which is the country of good people. We talk about different countries in barzakh, of course, and to a neighborhood which the inhabitants of which are very similar to this person. And that's why everyone loves each other. They're quite similar, very like-minded. They understand each other very well, just like people of hell in barzakh. They understand each other very well. They understand what is greed, what is anger, what is attack against each other's private atmosphere and area. They know it very well. How to cheat each other, how to trick each other, and all this happens in barzakh. Now, of course, the very famous hadith of the Prophet, Al-Qabru imma rawdatun min riyad al-Jannah aw hufratun min hufar al-Niran. The grave is either a garden of the gardens of paradise or a pit of the pits of the hell. This is what Nakir and Munkar show to you. This is your place, and it will become as such. However, it becomes as such. As I said, it is on a certain spot on this earth. However, that is when actually you turn this mirror the other way, it is connected to a different city in barzakh. So two graves, maybe just beside each other, like the grave, the tomb of Imam Reza alayhi salam and Harun al-Rashid, both of them are just buried beside each other. Actually, Ma'mun wanted to honor Imam Reza alayhi salam, and he ordered him to be buried beside Ma'mun, beside his father, Harun al-Rashid. So when you go to Mashhad, of course, you know that in that tomb, there is not only Imam Reza, it's Harun al-Rashid there as well, father of Ma'mun. Now, when you look from this side, they're just beside each other. When you look from that side, they are in two different areas and cities, far, far away from each other. That is how the geography, the location in barzakh would seem. And people looking from that side, of course, they look from, for example, one group look from Barahut, one group look from Wadi Salam, different good and bad areas. And when they look, they see their graves beside each other. Of course, we cannot imagine. It's very difficult to imagine. It's a different type of dimension. Yes. There is some benefit if there is reception. There's always benefit in everything if there is reception. If there is no reception, there is no benefit in anything. Just like God is everywhere. But if you don't have reception, it doesn't benefit. So for mu'min there is a benefit, but for kafir there is no benefit. Now, again, what happens here is he would like to return once again and inform his relative. This is very interesting, because on the moment of death, here when Nakir and Munkar show him any good thing which happens, they would like to come back and tell their relatives. But of course, the Nakir and Munkar, well, Bashir and Mubashir, sorry. Bashir and Mubashir would tell him or her, no, wait, you cannot go, it's not possible. They should be now in negligence. Otherwise, how they would show, How would they shape their personality? They have to be in negligence, ignorant of what you are seeing now, so that they make it to where you are. And another interesting thing is that when a door to paradise is open to their barzakh garden, because a door also is shown to them from real paradise, and they want just to jump out of that door, that window, to go to paradise. And Nakir and Bashir and Mubashir tell him, well, I always say Nakir and Munkar. So maybe my fate is to see them. So Bashir and Mubashir tells him that, no, you have to wait. Everyone should die. Then the resurrection should come. That what you see is not actually what you see now. It's just an image of what will happen later on. And therefore, they try to somehow quiet him down, calm him from the excitement of seeing that pleasant place and he cannot go to yet. ثُمَّ يُفْصَحُ فِي قَبْرِهِ سَبْعِينَ ذِرَاعًا فِي سَبْعِينَ ذِرَاعًا. Then they expand his grave, of course not the physical grave, that cell in which he is, the barzakhi side of the grave. They expand his grave 70 zira is about half a meter. This is zira. To 70 zira, and 70 actually shows the enormity of anything, because different have different expanses and different different sort of space in barzakh according to their actions. For some. The space of or the area of the garden in which they are may equal the whole island of United Kingdom, for example. So it cannot say how much, just uses a symbolic number, 70, which denotes large and enormous, yes. Exactly, it's this paradise. Because that paradise hasn't come yet. So you see, in Surah Yasin also it says, قِيلَ ادْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ, they tell him, enter paradise. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُ. He says, I wish I could go and say this and tell my people that what has happened. بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. How honorable. How has he honored me? Of course, we do not deserve any honor. We don't have any honor. Where have we brought our honor? It's just the shakala which Allah has honored. So, ثُمَّ يُقَالُ لَهُ نِمْ. Then they tell him, now sleep. Of course, the sleep, this compared to the life, because he just wants to jump and go to paradise. They say, no, sleep here. That means stay here. It's not a sleep, of course, for them. فَيَقُولُ أَرْجُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ فَأُخْبِرُهُمْ. He says, can I go and inform my people what happened to me? Of course they say no. We already know. So do not please bother yourself asking this. I know you will ask it, but do not bother, because they would not allow you to come back and tell us, who are still alive, to tell us that's what has happened to you. يُفْصَهُ فِي قَبْرِهِ سَبْعِينَ ذِرَاعًا فِي سَبْعِينَ ذِرَاعًا. Then they make his grave expand 70 zira in 70 zira, the area. Then nothing, he loves nothing more than the coming of the hour. Although the place where he is in is so beautiful, so pleasant, still he is always waiting. You see, this sort of want and longing which is in us to reach God, always. For mu'min is the case. It is with them still. They still think that there's a long way to go to meet God. So it's always there. This longing is always there. For people of paradise, of barzakh, more than what you have here. So you have Urafa there as well. So people become Arif, they want to reach to God sooner rather than later. Of course, then they are not mad Urafa, because we have many mad Urafa as well here. They are not mad Urafa, they are wise Urafa. They know how they have to behave during that long period of Barzakh, so that they arrive at God in a proper way. Any questions? Yes. No, they say sleep because compared to the type of life that these two groups have, the good ones and the evil ones, it is like a sleep. You see, when we sleep, the strength of our life goes down, isn't it? Our hearing, our vision, our activity, movement, control of limbs, all would go away. So the life becomes very weak. That's why we call it sleep. So because their life is much weaker than these two groups, they call it sleep. Otherwise, they are quite alive. Much, much more alive than we are here in this world. That's why I understand from it. Yes.
They're buried next to somebody that's been a good doer, for example, but so an evildoer is buried, and there are stories that we've had that their punishment was removed because a good doer was buried next to them. Have you heard of anything like this? Or benefit?
It depends on the reception of the person. Yes, it may benefit. It may benefit. However, the people who are buried beside that good person should have the reception so that they benefit from, it's a sort of shafa'a which reaches them, of course, involuntary shafa'a. So there are stories about this. Of course, if we get time, I may just mention one story about this issue. Yes. Yeah, inshallah, we'll do that. We have lots of things to talk about Barzakh. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
This is on the question you asked about who is your Lord, who is your Prophet. And what is in our hearts will obviously come out.
Yeah. Just when they come, just say, Ya Ali, and leave it. Yeah. Well, of course, we have our shortcomings, and Allah knows that. And actually, He is out there to cover for our shortcomings. And these angels come actually to help us with our shortcomings. It's not, as I said, we shouldn't look at it in the way that because we have shortcomings, we have to be punished. No, because we have shortcomings, we have to be taught. We have to learn. Because this shortcoming is always there. So they come, they teach, we learn. Kindly they treat us, inshallah. And through that kindness, tenderness, love, which actually is established between us and these angels, we will learn about all these things. And even when we go to paradise, we cannot worship God the way He deserves to be worshipped. Certainly.
But really, if I want to be with us in this stage, we don't even promise this.
I will talk about that, yes. Yes. At this stage, also you will see. Well, I think when we were talking about the death, I said that the A'imma and the Prophet will actually be seen by both, by mu'min and kafir, they will see with him. But Imam Ali coming in here and helping, Imam Ali is in your heart. I mean, everything is in you, isn't it? I mean, what do you know of Imam Ali? It's all in your heart. It's the love you have in your heart. So that would help. Not that Imam Ali comes and just kicks these angels, go away, don't ask him. No, it's not that way. It doesn't work that way, sir.
Actions are obviously performed in this world, whether you do bad or good. Whereas, as far as I understood that in Barzakh, you can't do much. There is no more actions to be performed. So
yeah.
How does the soul just mature and so
on? In Barzakh, you grow. You grow. But you grow according to the nature that you have created for yourself. Now, you are either created gold or silver or copper. Okay? But this gold and silver and copper would grow. It's just like seeds of different plants. They grow. And, of course, that growth would determine, you don't know yet. It's just like a seed that you don't yet know what type of foliage, what type of plant is going to create. That growth would determine where you go. So it's not in your hand, but it needs time to flourish and to show itself.
Does that mean that
yeah, it will be covered. Yes, that's right. No, that's about the day of judgment. That's about it. We have a long way there. Don't worry now. Inshallah, we never go there. Yes? Depends. They are very high in Barzakh. They live in special countries, special cities. Very hard to get a visa to get there, actually. Very hard. We'll talk about it. Different countries and different regions in Barzakh. But sometimes they come to our countries, and we can see them. Sometimes they give us visa to go to their countries. And it depends on our actions. It depends. So they are kings there, actually. We have kings in Barzakh, I mean, in hereafter. So there are kings there. You not always see the king, of course. Yeah. Yes.
So last question from my side. There is a story that is presented, which is quite a plausible story. And I relate that, and then we can judge from what we have learned so far whether it is true or not. We have heard that there was a king who lived, of course, a prosperous life and had a lot of money. But in his will, he said that when I die, one third of my wealth will go to the person who is able to accompany me on the first night in the grave. You may learn about this. And
I volunteer.
Now,
where's the king?
That is very interesting because nobody did. Nobody did. The simple fright of the first night, they may have heard lots of lectures about Abhamanpur and said, no, we're not going there at all. We don't want that wealth. A very old man comes up at the very last moment and he says, yes, I will go with the king and I will sleep with him for the first night. So he goes there, and as he goes in the grave, the Munkar Nakir turns back and saying that this Badshah Salamat is with us. We take care of him afterwards. Let's start off with it, and then we'll go back. So they start questioning him. And they're questioning him to such detail. Now this guy says, I have a small business manufacturing agarbatti, incense. And they queried him left, right, and center. You bought your material for this price, you sold at this price, you mixed and adulterated here and there. And they really threshed everything out of him. To a level that in the morning when he came out, this old man just walked away. And the people called him back and said, guys, one third of the wealth is yours. This is a few billion pounds worth. He said, if my small business has resulted in what I've been asked, I don't want any of this wealth. I'm just going away. he just walked away from it. Now, it's a very plausible story. And I tend to use it whenever I go out for donations for any project. I tend to tell guys, you know, better donate now, because there are going to be lots of questions. But from what we have learned so far, I'd leave it to Aga and to the students to comment whether it is possible. It's one thing to be having a plausible story. It's another to be having a credible one. Over to you, Aga. Is this credible at all?
Well, over to you. Yes. No, that's about much, much higher question on the Day of Judgment. About this story, can it be true? It's a nice story, and I think it doesn't matter if we quote it just to motivate people to do good, because it's just like the stories that our sages used to say to actually give us a comparison of what is going to happen. But we should know that this is impossible, of course. It's not possible, certainly. However, as I said, it's a good story. I mean, we can just mention it as a story and say that this is something full of wisdom and a story which gives us just like a metaphorical story. Yeah.
Please explain this, I've not been heard so far. Why would not a living person go through all this?
Well, we are going through more terrible things now than that.
Because he's only coming to the airport. He's only coming to see the person off. He's not going to go with him.
Yeah, of course. Because we have to mature for that. We have to pass through something which actually gives us that maturity for living in the world of Barzakh. And for that, we have to leave this body. With this body, it's not possible. It's impossible with this body. Okay? Shall I see you next week?